Virginia sued for defamation.
Who brought down Andrew, the prince, no longer.
Right. And Virginia, as we know, tragically died of suicide earlier this year. But you can see in these files, in that litigation, which was in 2016, you can see notes of conversations. David Boies went to the feds. He went to the Southern District, said, you need to look at what is in these this discovery. You need to look at these depositions, because this shows the bigger crime. You see the feds tracking this, but you don't see them doing anything until, again, you see them pass around links to the Miami Herald, links to Julie Brown's story in end of 2018. And it's almost like they are having to follow, you know, almost, you know, like Inspector Clouseau, these breadcrumbs that are left for them by everybody else. And I'm sure the survivors find this really disheartening in a way to watch.
Why do you think President Trump has approached this the way he has? And what about the information and all that has come out around him, not necessarily criminal, but the removal of his name from so many different documents? And then you see his name once in a document that was redacted, and so you know that it's actually him. He's the one who campaigned on the release of the Jeffrey Epstein documents. Now he had to sign this release into law. But the way they are dragging their feet, talk as we wrap up about what you expect to see, the incredible power of the survivors banding together.
Well, you know, this is speculation, but my gut, and I do know President Trump, it tells me that he doesn't like a story in which there's any sort of gray or nuance that he isn't somehow the best, the absolute best. And you know, and this is a story which again and again and again brings up his past, and a past that presented a very different portrait of Donald Trump than the one he would like to portray now. I will say that, you know, having sat in the Maxwell trial, we did see his name come up on the screen, on the flight logs, in that key period when Maxwell and Epstein were grooming and recruiting one of their major victims up at, who was attending Interlochen, a school for artistic gifted children. You did see Flight's name again and Trump's name again and again and again on the manifest. And it was a head scratcher, because it was really impossible at that time to put the pieces of this jigsaw puzzle together.
He denied being on any flights and he denied being at the island.
Well, and I never saw any records of him being on the island. I don't know if he denied being on any flights, but I think that, you know, you can see if you're Trump, this is all too close for comfort. And it's not very comfortable to have these things out. And Trump being Trump, he'd rather not address it.
And where do you see this going for the survivors and for Pam Bondi? Could she be held in contempt?
Well, I really hope Congress does their job. I mean, you know, one of the things we need to see in the Trump administration is the different branches of government actually doing what they're supposed to do and holding each other to account.
Finally, you are the expert on Ghislaine Maxwell. She is now in a minimum security prison. No sex abuse, no sex perpetrator has been put in a prison camp like she has after she had interviews with what the deputy attorney general, who was Trump's former attorney. Could you see Trump pardoning her? And she has appealed for the reopening of the case.
Well, I think two of the people who come out absolutely appallingly from this latest document dump is Ghislaine Maxwell in her correspondence with the former Prince Andrew, arranging quote-unquote inappropriate girls for him. I think people will be sickened by that. As regarding a pardon, never say never, but I think President Trump is a man who's concerned at this point with legacy and with history. And I think if he were to pardon Ghislaine Maxwell, that blot would stain all the other things, accomplishments he likes to talk about that he's done. So I personally would be shocked.
I want to thank you, Vicky Ward. We'll continue to follow the story. Longtime investigative journalist, host and co-producer of the podcast series Chasing Ghislaine, the untold story of the woman in the Epstein shadow, which also became a TV series by the same name. When we come back, we speak to longtime immigrant rights activist Jeanette Vizgueda Ramirez. She was just released Monday from a Colorado ICE jail after more than 9 months. A judge ruled her detention was unconstitutional. Back in 30 seconds.
Se quedan mudos, otros tienen memoria para olvidar. Si la violencia es un espejo que se rompe y nuestras lágrimas caídas gritarán, solo recuerda que mi cara tiene un nombre y nunca más se callará.
Again by La Santa Cecilia in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to Colorado, where longtime immigrant rights activist Jeanette Vizgueda Ramirez has been released from an ICE jail after almost 10 months in detention. Jeanette reunited with her family Monday after she was released on bond following a judge's ruling her detention was unconstitutional. She was arrested in March, ambushed by ICE agents during her work break at Target, later transferred to an immigration jail in Aurora, Colorado, run by the private prison company Geo Group. Jeanette Vizgueda gained national attention in 2017 when she took sanctuary in a Denver church along with her children, three of whom are U.S. born, to avoid deportation. In May, Jeanette won the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award. I spoke with Jeanette Vizgueda on Tuesday. You have been in jail for 9 months. How does it feel to be free?
And this moment is one mixed emotions and my person and my family. 9 months, 7 days, that's a long, long time in detention. But every time I have hope that one day I'm released, my legal team work very strong. I'm continuing my job, same in detention. My community fight very strong for me, same for 9 months. And finally, I'm here. I'm very emotional in this moment. As the yesterday, my kids and me, as they mentioned, the a similar one block, the emotions is the is real. I'm here all the time. It's possible, talk to my kids, touch my kids, kiss my kids, my kiddos. It's very emotional. It's very, very emotional in this moment.
Can you talk about what your plans are now and your response to the judge's ruling, Judge Nina Wong?
Yeah, well, at first I'm happy for the decision, for take this bond. My plan later, my case continue. My case not finished, my case continue. I don't know for how many time. My plan is these last days that is year, I pass my time for my family later in the new year, come back and my job, the activist. I never stop.
That was Jeanette Vizgueda Ramirez speaking with us on Tuesday after she was released Monday after more than 9 months in an ICE jail in Aurora, Colorado. We'll hear from her, more from her, in a minute. But first, we go to Denver, and we're joined by Jennifer Piper, Program Director at the American Friends Service Committee, part of a coalition supporting Jeanette. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, Jennifer. It's great to have you with us. You all held a rally news conference yesterday. That's why Jeanette had to finish her conversation early with us so she could get to it. Talk about the significance of the judge's ruling. She demanded she be released, not be wearing a ankle shackle. She said that her detention was unconstitutional.
Yes, the district judge, after 9 months and many arguments back and forth, did rule that on Jeanette's habeas that her prolonged detention was unconstitutional and ordered that the government hold a bond hearing within a week and that the burden of proof in that hearing would be on the government. Usually in immigration court, you have to prove yourself that you're not a flight risk or a danger and you're good moral character. In this instance, that was flipped. And at that court hearing, the government continued to try to impede her right to speech and the public access by denying journalists and observers access to that public hearing for 2.5 hours. We finally gained access, but it took us 2.5 hours of arguing with GEO and ICE officials to get into that hearing.
And talk about what Jeanette has meant and symbolized. I mean, there was a private Senate bill that was passed in her case that prolonged her ability to be free in this country and seek legalization. It was introduced, right, by Senator Michael Bennet.
Yeah, Jeanette's been an activist and a human rights advocate for almost 30 years. And even before she founded the Sanctuary Coalition here in Denver and utilized that coalition, she's been a labor rights and immigrant activist. So her detention was intentional to try and silence people across the country, not only immigrant leaders, but also citizens. I can't tell you how many people I heard from that said, you know, if she can't win her case with all of her her activism and notoriety over all of these years, what is the chance for the rest of us? And the fact that she is free now after 9 months of weekly vigils, incredible work by Lictor Immigration, the Rocky Mountain Immigrant Advocacy Network, and the Sturm College of Law's Immigration and Policy Clinic, the fact that she is free right now is emboldening people across this country to continue to take up space and to not cede to this administration's efforts to silence people. Really, at the end of the day, these corporations, GEO Group, BI, the 10 other contractors that have been paid millions of dollars by this administration to try and hunt down our neighbors, their goal is social control, and they've thrown immense power that they have at their disposal at all of us. But this also demonstrates the fragility of their hold over everyday people when we stand up together. Our safety comes from our connection, trust, and continuing to claim space in the public sphere. It comes from doing new things, things that each of us have never done before, and being connected across all of these struggles. Whether you're a fisherman in Venezuela or Palestine, whether you're a person who's about to lose their affordable care, every single one of us in this moment is under attack, and these billionaires, their goal is control.
We have to leave it there. I want to thank you for being with us, Jennifer Piper, Program Director at the American Friends Service Committee, Colorado, because we want to end this segment again with the words of Jeanette Vizgeta, who was named one of the 100 most influential people of the year by Time magazine in 2017. She was released from ICE jail on Monday, spent that day with her family. Yesterday, on Tuesday, I had a chance to talk with her. She's the mother of four when she was arrested by federal agents in Denver in March. I'd asked her to describe her time in detention.
I have been jailed, protest for 9 months inside the detention. Some parts are strong, some parts I continue navigate, same continue documentate the conditions and detention, continue take testimonies. I'm trying to maintain Take my brain occupied for my mental health not broke. 9 months is long time in detention. But I continue fight for the condition, continue fight for help people inside, for support and connect for resource my people in detention. But it's difficult, these 9 months, it's difficult for everybody, not only for me. I don't care, it's one day, 2 days, one more, whatever time in detention, not good.
You have described yourself as a political prisoner. Can you explain why? Why you feel targeted?
They attack very bad my community for have violation my First Amendment. I never quiet injustice, not only for the immigrant system, for whatever injustice. My job is the social justice, human rights, civil rights, and labor rights. I'm funding immigrant rights here in Colorado. Obviously, I need a spoken in media. I need a spoken in social media. Criticize this government. If this government go back me, it's the same the last time in the administration 45, but in this time coming more aggressive, follow me, he arrested me for my free speech.
Can you describe what it was like inside? Can you tell us about the other people inside, why they were there in the for-profit jail in Aurora, Colorado, where you were held?
Everybody, I need to understand this corporation, GEO Processing Center and CCI Corporation, is privileged detention, take billions and billions and billions of money for take people in detention. The companies, the telephone, the companies, the tablet calls, the companies, the commissary, they very billions money for these people in detention. All people in detention, all immigrants around the world have rights. Need fight, need continue strong. The coward people only living. But my people, my immigrant people is a strong people. Need continue fight.
Do you, Jeanette, have to still check in with ICE?
Yes, in January I need go and check in. It's the continue same game in my case. I need notificate 48 hours before in case I need travel in other states. Is the where, how many days. This is the plan, the game, the continue you game. But okay, I follow everything, whatever I need. I no have excuse the other time arrested me. I continue my job, only continue my job. I continue to try remove these restrictions.
I see that the judge ruled that you do not have to wear an electronic bracelet. Is that right? A shackle on your foot or on your arm?
Yeah, this dude, the lawyer government tried to put this restriction, but I don't need it. I know it's the risk to escape. I know I'm not dangerous people for the community. I don't need monitoring my life. I'm activist. I need moving. I need go in different states. No need ankle bracer. This is only used for continued damage to mental health and continue have control in your life. But I don't need it. I don't have ankle bracer. I don't have dispositive, app, or telephone. No have these restrictions.
That was Colorado immigrant rights activist Jeanette Vizgueda Ramirez speaking with Democracy Now! On Tuesday from Denver, Colorado. She was freed Monday from ICE detention after 9 months on Monday. A federal judge, Judge Nina Wong, that her detention was unconstitutional. Up next, an update on the growing calls to release Palestinian activist Lakhal Kardia, joined Gaza solidarity protests at Columbia, and has been detained in an ICE jail in Texas for nearly 10 months. Stay with us.
Passion in our midst. We got passion.
Montreal musician Paul Carniello. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We end today's show looking at the growing calls to release a Palestinian woman from New Jersey who's been held in ICE detention in Texas for nearly 10 months. Laqa Qardia was arrested last year at a Gaza solidarity protest at Columbia University, but the charges were dismissed. Then when she went to her ICE check-in this past March, she was arrested and immediately sent to the Prairieland Detention Center in Alvarado, Texas, where she's been held ever since. Lawyers from CLEAR and the Texas Civil Rights Project and Boston University School of Law Immigrants' Rights Clinic are helping on her case. NPR's Radio Diaries recently aired part of a phone call between Laqa Qardia and her cousin, Hamza Abishaban, who talks to her almost every day.
I received a call from my mother telling me there are people asking for you from the government. At the beginning, I thought like they're missing a form or something. Okay, I'm just going to solve this issue and then like I'll have my green card soon. But they took my my fingerprints and all that. They said, you're going to Texas. I said, Texas? Like, that's really far away. And when I arrived to Texas, the place was overcrowded.
How many people are there with you?
So right now we're 87. And the capacity of this place is 37. It's a lot of people sleeping on the floor.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe another word to describe this place, a big bathroom. It's open. Everything is open. There is no privacy.
That's Laqa Qardia speaking from ICE jail in Texas to her cousin. So the New Jersey, Paterson, New Jersey City Council has just passed a resolution calling for the immediate release of Laqa. And Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen and New Jersey Senator Cory Booker are also calling for Laqa Qardia's release. For more, we're joined by Leila Haddad, Palestinian journalist from Gaza, media strategist who's helping to raise awareness about the ongoing detention of Laqa, and just came back from visiting her in Texas. Leila is the co-editor of Gaza in Silence, author of Gaza Mom, Palestine Politics, Parenting, and Everything in Between. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, Leila. Talk about Laqa, why she has been held for almost 10 months after going to her New Jersey ICE check-in.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. That's sort of the question that everyone is asking. I think partly because her case sort of fell between the cracks. She wasn't a student or a public-facing activist, per se. She didn't have those support networks. And her case shares a lot in common. Of course, it's interwoven with the cases of all the others that we have heard of, Mahmoud Khalil, Mohsen Mahdawi, Dr. Badr Suri Khan, and Rumaysa Ozturk. But it just didn't get the kind of attention that the other cases got early on. Even though, as you summarized earlier, even though two judges have actually called for her release and found that she is not deportable to Israel. Unfortunately, the government has been blocking those decisions through various legal maneuvering, and that's partly why she's still being held under very harsh conditions, as she herself attested to.
Leila, the Trump administration mistakenly called her a Columbia student and tried to say she'd actively participated in anti-American, pro-terrorist activities and a pro-Hamas demonstration, what they often called the Gaza demonstrations on campuses across the country. Your response?
Laqa Qardia has been held and has argued in court that that her detention is unconstitutional, that it violates the First and the Fifth Amendments, and it's simply part of a broader trend that we have seen post-Trump to crack down on any dissent and use immigration law to weaponize immigration law to silence dissent and to criminalize free speech, especially when that speech relates to Palestine, to defending Palestinian life, to criticizing Israel, and to challenging U.S. policy, just as we have seen in all of these other cases. She was motivated to act and to protest, exercising her First Amendment rights, which are available to her, even as a non-citizen. Just like so many other people, she was spurred to action by her humanity, in as much as she was spurred to action by her own personal loss. Liqa' was born in Jerusalem, raised in the occupied West Bank under Israeli military occupation. Her mother is from Gaza. She was separated from her for 20 years because of the Israeli blockade and was keeping in constant touch with her. She came to the United States legally, and her petition for residency was approved to reunite with her mother. She was caring for her mother and her younger brother, who has special needs. And she, very crucially, 200 of her family members, 13 since the so-called ceasefire took place, have been killed by Israel with the support and the complicity of the United States. And for all these reasons, and for the reasons that millions of us took to the streets, she was protesting not only at the gates of Columbia, but at many other protests as well.
I mean, she was arrested last March. It was just days after Mahmoud Khalil was arrested, the Columbia student, and right before Mohsen was arrested. They have both been released. Mohsen's back at Columbia University. But she remains in jail. Can you talk about what she looks like now? I understand she's lost about a third of her body weight.
Yes, she looked very pale. She has lost a significant amount of weight. That is correct. And she has been detained, as you mentioned, in this ICE jail for almost 10 months, despite this judge calling for her release, despite finding that her her prolonged detention is likely unconstitutional. And despite all this, I will say she marked also her 33rd birthday, a very solemn 33rd birthday, in which she spoke about how the other women with her in that facility tried to cheer her up, and they formed a kind of sisterhood and bond. And she, I will say, she advocates on their behalf. Despite all this, in her words, she says the conditions here are designed to break the human spirit, but that despite all this, she derives hope and inspiration from all of the people that continue to advocate on her behalf, and that it has only increased her resolve to continue to be an advocate and an activist, not only for all of these women, but more broadly for Palestinian liberation when she gets out, inshallah.
We just have a minute to go. Leila Haddad, if you can talk about what you're calling for, what Amnesty International is calling for, what senators are calling for, including her own senator from New Jersey, Cory Booker.
For her immediate release, there's absolutely no reason for her to continue to be detained, even though her cousin that you mentioned earlier, Hamza, her family, had agreed and had actually paid a very high $20,000 bond that was then returned. The government immediately blocked her release. She's not a flight risk. She's not a danger to her society. She has strong community ties. She has no criminal history. And so we're calling for her immediate release while her case continues to make its way through the courts. And this is the same thing that Senators Van Hollen and Kim and other congressmen from her district as well have been calling for. She should not be in that ICE jail for one day longer. Leila. And she faces an imminent risk if she was deported.
Leila Haddad, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Palestinian journalist from Gaza, helping to raise awareness about the ongoing detention of Liqa' Qardiya, Palestinian woman from New Jersey, arrested at Columbia University protest. Charges were dropped, but has been held for nearly 10 months in a Texas ICE jail. Many are calling for her release. That does it for our show. Happy birthday to Narmeen Maria. An early happy birthday to Raquel Rodriguez Phipps and to Yusra Razuki. I'm Amy Goodman.
Hi there. This is Jan Arden. And if you're listening to something fabulous, well, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser University Radio, streaming on the internet at cjsf.ca.
Ducks Unlimited Canada works with landowners and other conservation-minded partners to improve outcomes for communities and wildlife. Supporting vital ecosystems which contribute to water quality and quantity, soil health, support agriculture and economy, mitigate severe weather events, and provide opportunities for recreational access to nature. Together, we are unlimited. Learn more about programs and partnerships at ducks.ca.